I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! Happy Friday. I know the weather's still a little wet, but it's going to be a nice weekend, man. And more importantly, Mike Bell, we got football, the SEC starting up, Bears coming to town. There is a lot happening. Braves getting ready for the playoffs. We got a full slate of guests for you guys today, including our man Harry Douglas is going to stop by in the 6 o'clock hour to talk about the Falcons and what he thinks needs to happen on Sunday. What's going on this Friday, man?
Hey, man, nothing, just hitting the gym, you know, because my body's a temple, you know, temple bowling alley.
Got to do it.
It's
do
all
it.
The same thing. But no, man, just ready to rock and roll. The condo has already been listed today. Yes, a special time in the boy's life.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but dude in my building got news about this and already took a peek.
Really?
Yeah, how about that?
So he might want to upgrade, is what you're saying.
Sounds like it. So okay. It's funny because I was laughing. The guy's like, you can tell he's a real player. He's like, yeah, man, I really want a 2-bedroom, want more space. And I'm like, yeah, man. And he's like a 31-year-old version of me. You know, if I look like Brad Pitt. But so this dude, he's pretty funny. He's like, wow, okay. Oh, well, again, it's early. You don't want to jinx it, but we literally listed it. It's only been listed in like a few minutes. We're like, yeah. So we'll see where it goes, brother. This roller coaster ride continues. If I ever make it out to the country, coach down there at East Coweta, someday I will get to watch the Indians in person, I presume. But yeah, man, have my dog, have my acre of land. But yet, till we have, all these balls are in the air, Carl. You know, it's kind of like the Falcons. There's a lot of question marks. We're looking for answers right now.
I'm glad you said that because as we look towards the Bears here on a Friday, it is a hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home 2020. We continue as we've done each and every weekend, guys. And what are you cooking? We'll tell you a little bit later on what we've got working for the weekend. And my day is kind of shifted. I'm going to cook today, but I'm cooking more stuff for football, especially on Sundays now. And, you know, as the SEC gets underway, it might even go to a little bit of Saturday. So We'll get to all of that as we come your way live from our Mobile Kia studios. You bring up balls in the air with the Falcons and a lot of unknowns. And, you know, as we talk about what needs to happen this weekend, and you're going to hear what Dan Quinn had to say to us earlier this week, just a snippet or two of what DQ had to say about playing a full game, because that's really part of this. But, Mike, we got to be able to block their front seven. And we said this, Khalil Mack is better than anybody the Cowboys showed us last week, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know, Alt Smith, all those guys, good players. This dude is a dude, and so we've got to find a way to get him blocked, but they got other guys up front. Akeem Hicks we talked about, he's a guy that in the last couple of years we've seen them, you know, he's had his way with our offensive line, so they're very good up front with that front seven. But let's be honest, and we can break down the game, and we certainly will. This gets back to what you've been saying for the last 2 weeks. Can we make cut clutch plays? Because that's what we haven't done.
I mean, the one thing, you know, that we heard from Raheem Morris is like, look, we got to stop this. We got to get this together. I mean, there was a sense of urgency. And again, look, Dan's style is Dan's style. But I mean, it wasn't like Dan was going to come on the radio, guys, and go, guys, we don't win this game, I'm going to lose my freaking job. He's not going to say that, you know. But I mean, there is this sense of urgency. I mean, like when your owner comes out and says, it sure looks like the players had no idea what was going on. That's never a good sign. I don't know much about football, Carl, but that doesn't sound like it bodes well for the coach, does it?
It doesn't. And I think D. Orlando Ledbetter, who came on the show last night, you know, we asked him about job security because he covers the team on a daily basis. And he said, I got to see Dan every day. So he's going to leave that to the columnist. And what he means by that is whether you think 0-3 or 0-4, whatever the mark is. Okay. And again, I said this yesterday. I'm not trying to run anybody out of here. Do the job. Nobody gets run anyway. But when you start talking about expectation and not living up to it, at some point there comes a line. And I don't know what that line is. Last year, hell, guys, we thought 1-7 was the line, and it wasn't. Right. So, you know, with that said, I think D-Led was alluding to the fact that this may be the first time that we've seen publicly a disagreement with what the owner believed happened and what the coach said happened. Either way, Ben Kowicka, who's the special teams coordinator, he spoke yesterday, said, oh, you know, it's my fault. He took blame as well, but he said, listen, my guys knew what to do. We just didn't do it. That's kind of what we heard all week.
Okay. Well, we talked to Hayden Hurst, and it was literally like the guys are hypnotized by the spinning football. You know, I mean, literally, I blank you not.
You are getting sleepy.
Don't touch me. Let me roll to the sideline. No, I mean, it was, you know, I don't know. It was very, very strange. And with all due respect to Hayden, it still didn't make a heck of a lot of sense.
No.
But they, you know, they just didn't, they, you know, they were caught off guard. Either way, it's a reflection of the way we've seen things go for far too long with this team. And I think, like, Quinn knows it. They've got to get things turned around. Arthur Blank is not going to give him the second half evaluation that he got last year. If this team does not start winning games, someone's going to get got.
Well, and the thing that I don't want to hear Monday, when we come back on a Falcon Monday and talk about what happened in this game, is we didn't execute again. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear we didn't execute again. There gets a point, again, to me, again, at some point, Mike, as fans, where you start to say, okay, well, why are you not executing all the time?
Right.
So we didn't, and think about this, Seattle game. We didn't execute on a 4th-and-5, which basically came down to technique, where our defender gets beat, and that was a huge play and a huge turnaround play. You talk about not executing on an onside kick that is fundamentally, you know, one of the plays that you cover as a football team every week. I don't want to hear that. So as we move forward, we've got some things we want to talk about with this Bears-Falcon game. We will talk plenty about the Dogs today as well, guys. One of our favorite guys is going to join us a little bit later on to talk about the Dogs and Seth Emerson as we get ready for the Dogs in Arkansas. Still no word on the quarterback, but we'll get Seth's take on this coming up at around 3:20. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line on this Friday. You can always text the show. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow our radio station at 929, The Game. We'll break down keys, talk about some of the key matchups as well. But you know, as I said, we need clutch plays. We had some last week. We just didn't have enough to finish the game. You know, the Calvin Ridley play. You talk about the Julio fourth down catch, the one he did make, not the touchdown that he dropped. Those were some clutch plays. We had some. We just didn't have enough to win the game. And that's deciphering us between 0-2 and 2-0 with where we were at.
You score as many points as we did. I mean, you made plays. You know, Julio, as we said, I'm going to harp on that again. That just breaks you. I mean, that just kills you. And again, if Julio doesn't go, if he's a, you know, I don't know what he's going to be. If he's going to be a decoy, still enough weapons between Gage, obviously Calvin Ridley, who's having an unbelievable season so far, and then Hayden Hurst should be open. You know, I want to see Gurley catching passes in space, you know, and able to beat guys one-on-one. And I hope Dirk Cutter puts him in that position. You talked about how physical the Bears are. Conversely, the Bears want to run the football. Montgomery, right. They're going to try to run it down our throat. And then, you know, eventually if they establish the run, then they'll go to play action. And then God knows what Isaiah Oliver is going to do when that happens. So it's a scary, even though this Bears is like, everyone thinks it's fool's gold with a 2-0 start with, you know, two bad beats, you know, two teams they beat. You know, they should have lost the Lions and almost let the Giants off the hook. But we still don't play a complete game. We don't play four quarters. We don't play defense for four quarters. So that's why I'm really nervous. Again, I'm nervous about all these games. And Falcon fans should be nervous. And Dan Quinn should really, really be nervous about this.
Well, you know what makes you not nervous, though? Seriously, is preparation. Like, if you're prepared and you feel like your team, like, this is when coaches go, we're ready. Right. And then after the game, you talk to a coach and he's like, I knew we were ready to go because you're prepped. You know everything that they could possibly do. You're ready to go and you know your guys are going to follow through. The only reason Dan Quinn should be nervous is if he feels like, well, he hadn't covered all the bases. Last week is an example of that. And whether you think it was coaching or execution, we didn't cover all the bases by not getting on that onside kick. So every little detail has to be covered. And that's why I keep harping on attention to detail with this football team. Hey, man, I want to give a big shout out today, Mike. Weird in a way, but was really cool. I went over to Haywood's. I didn't have a chance to go down to Buckhead Butcher Shop, which they do an amazing job, big part of our tailgate. But Haywood's is a meat company as well. It's off of Roswell Road. And as a matter of fact, I think Buckhead Butcher does some stuff with those guys. They kind of, you know, coexist and they both have similar products. But either way, I was over there. I walk out because I was getting some stuff to cook today. And a guy in the parking lot, he has one of those yellow vests on. And I'm literally getting ready to get in the car. And he's like, Dukes! And I'm like, I've got a mask on. Right. I'm walking out of a meat store. And I mean, like, a random obscure thing. Anyways, his name's Chris. He's a surveyor, and they were doing some work in the parking lot, man, and he recognized me. We talked for about 20 minutes. His buddy came over. His buddy's name's Trevor, and I just want to give them a big shout-out, Mike. So they start talking about the beer. They've been out to Twin Peaks with us when we were going out. Obviously,
oh, nice.
COVID-19's kind of shut a lot of that down for, you know, at least now, but maybe 2021 we'll get back to it. But they were talking about the beer, so I ran over, man, and got them some Hey Man Ale and dropped off a six-pack to those guys. So I got to give Chris and Trevor a big shout-out for listening and being avid listeners, and it's just one of those random meetings. But, man, they were talking about the Falcons, the Braves. They were all about it. I was like, oh, you guys got to get back to work, don't you? They were like, no, man, we're good. We have you guys on all the time. So they're all over the state, Mike, and they say they listen all the time.
There used to be a bumper sticker back in the day when I was working in Virginia that said, I break for wild surveyors. You know, they were doing some construction projects. I always got a kick out of that. So that will be my currency. Speaking of, hey, man, I got Brightbox. Matter of fact, they'll be here any minute there because the contractor.
Well, they're setting you up again, right?
Yeah. Well, the contractors pulled a wire out of the wall and. So I got picture, but I've got no sound. And Becky and I, we've given up trying to fix it. So get the pros on the job. So, yeah, that'll be, again, my tip will be a case or two or maybe a six-pack, whatever I got left of Brightbox. I should say of our Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale for the Brightbox guys. But, yeah, man, drinking beer, speaking of which, I was watching the TV with audio from the TV in the other bedroom. Braves game last night, and we'll talk about it. We'll get into it in depth, but I thought a really good job by Ian Anderson. I thought his defense let him down. I thought he deserved better. You know, the Braves bats, unfortunately, they came alive a little too late last night, but I still think Braves fans should take solace in the fact that Ian Anderson looks like he belongs in the big leagues.
No, he does, man. I mean, this is the thing. We were saying, you know, the idea of going down to the farm, and I say that's, you know, the Gwinnett Satellite Camp, which is where most guys have been if they're not on the big league team this year, and feel like you're going to pick somebody from there, whether it's Fulte or Newcomb, we talked about, and they're going to do a better job. Give these guys a chance. I don't think it can get any worse. I just don't. And I'm with you. I think Ian Anderson is ready for prime time. I think, Mike, as we turn the page, and I want to see what we do this year, but the future is bright, guys. Soroka, Freed, Anderson, Bryce Wilson. I don't know if I'm as sold as much on Bryce, but I do feel good about what I've seen. But we got a nice top of the three-man rotation. But right. You said we still need to go get a veteran who can actually show up and pitch for us.
We'll talk plenty about the Braves, obviously Falcons, dogs getting to work. By the way, Georgia Tech's got a winnable game against the Syracuse team, which has been beaten. So that's another game we'll get into. A lot of stuff, man. It's Friday, baby. It's football season.
That it is. It's Dukes and Bell, guys, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to come back. We'll hit some headlines. Joe Patrick will join us at 2:40 to talk about Braves as well as we gear up for the playoffs. We'll tell you what the standings look like coming up as well here on the program. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday, man. It feels good. And I'm happy because we're going to have more and more football. After Mike and I got off the air last night, We're going to dive into this a little bit later on, but the Pac-12 has made its decision to come back. So, you know, you go back to August, and you're going, all right, who's playing, who's not playing? And everybody's like, we're waiting. And the SEC did the right thing and waited it out and said, we're going to see where we're at. And the ACC did that, and we kind of know how that played out. But remember, you know, the three conferences in the Big Ten, the Pac-12, you know, those two, should I say, really were against playing. And Mike, we've had a complete turnabout. We know why. But now the Pac-12 is joining the party, so they're going to play seven games. And you know, my first question when I saw that last night is seven.
You got the point.
Yeah, you got the Big Ten trying to get nine in. We got the SEC. Everybody's trying to get at least 9 to 10 games, depending on if you're going to have a championship plan in your championship. Seven games?
What's the point? What's the point? And if I was a good athlete over there, or at least the guy projected to be going to the NFL, see ya. I mean, there's just no reason. I mean, I understand that they've, under the guise of player safety, but now if you're going to go through all of this, and I know we know that the Pac-12, of all the major Power 5 conferences, we've seen how lame their championship game is. They hope they're going to pump some life into it, you know, when they move to Las Vegas. But, you know, other than why, I mean, what TV numbers are they going to generate? I mean, the only reason they would do this, Carl, is to generate some revenue. And what's the interest going to be once a national champion is being crowned?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? The whole thing is screwy.
I do. I heard, I think it's Cristobal, right? He's the coach over at Oregon. And he was saying, which, you know, again, what else is he going to say? But it made me laugh because he was like, yes, whoever comes out of the Pac-12 deserves an opportunity in the college football playoff. And I'm really?
We're going to have the college football playoff St. Patrick's Day weekend. How's that sound? What are you talking about, man?
So we'll get into it, man. But the Pac-12 is back. What does that mean? Ultimately, it means all Power 5 conferences are playing. At some level, some degree. I just think if you're trying to do this, and they're starting later than even the Big Ten, but if you're going to do this, I think they needed to start around the time the Big Ten did. You know, give me a chance at least 9 games, and I might feel better about it, but I just don't think 7 is fair. And then to win a conference championship and say, yeah, we're deserving. I don't see that, how these other conferences are doing it. I just don't.
They're living in their own little the whole West Coast is living in their own fantasy world these days, Carl. But as far as how this is going to play out, I mean, yeah, it's you're going to crown, I guess, your own champion, and that'll be swell. But it'll have no bearing on the national picture. You guys, and remember they made that big press conference, or they made the announcement that they were going to have this super fast testing, which now we found that everybody's got. But I don't, like the Big Ten, you just wonder who's making these decisions because they don't make a lot of sense.
What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Ken is behind the glass. He is our engineer today. Bo Morgan, executive producer of this program. Hey, Ken, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start with the Bravos. They did lose last night, but Mike was talking about the performance of, you know, Ian Anderson. And here's the interesting thing. You know, when you look at his outing last night, I thought it was really good. You know, everybody keeps talking about the experience that he's gaining, including our manager, Brian Snicker.
Really good for a young pitcher to experience that, to come in and be in a pennant race and pitch meaningful games, you know, that he did, and it was big for us. And now, you know, he's going to get a chance to start a playoff game in his first year. That's great stuff. The only way you can get battle tested in that is to actually do it. You know, they can sit and watch and think about it, but, you know, until you experience a pennant race and playoff games, you can't replicate it.
Right about
I thought Ian Anderson did a great job. He got out of a little bit of a jam in the third, the fourth, the fifth. You know, was able to pitch out of it. At one point, I had a guy 3-0 and was able to battle back. And then, unfortunately, the sixth, you know, I do think, and I know the weather was sloppy and the bat was broken on the hit, but I think Austin Riley makes the play that gets butchered by Echevarria. And then you had a real, like, Texas League single, Carl, off of Cooper. And then, unfortunately, you know, after he gets two guys to strike out, and it looks like he's going to wiggle off the line, you get the Wallach singles. Like, oh, son of a guy. It was such a good, strong outing, and he was showing so much poise, and you just hated to see him have to, you know, give up three runs, all unearned in that inning.
Let's hear from Ian Anderson talking about the playoffs.
It's going to be super exciting. This is what you dream for, you know, coming up here and making an impact and getting a chance to pitch in the postseason. I know a lot of the guys, everyone in the locker room has a ton of confidence going in, and you know, we're itching to get out there and play some October baseball.
We lose 4-2 to the Marlins. We have clinched the NL East. You know that. We have the number two spot right now over the Cubs. We own the tiebreaker edge over the Cubs, by the way. We're two games better against the NL East than Chicago is against the NL Central. So that's why we are two and they're not. And now we've got three games against the Red Sox, which starts tonight, Mike. So, you know,
and by the way, the Marlins have to play the Yankees. And you know, if the Yankees want to get the better matchup, right, technically, because they're just a game above what the Indians are. Basically, the Yankees, Indians, White Sox. White Sox and Indians obviously battling for that second spot. But you could argue that the Yankees do have to put some effort into this. So they can't mail it in against the Marlins.
No, Marlins magic number is 3 for postseason berth. They hold the tiebreaker over the Phillies. We talked about that. So, yeah, there are going to be some interesting series this weekend, like there should be the last weekend of the baseball season. Right now, guys, if the playoffs started, we would be matched up against the Reds. So we'd have the number two seed versus the number seven seed Reds.
Yeah, man, and it's funny because I've been watching that quick pitch. That's coming like my new addiction. Every morning I wake up and I watch the MLB, and they kind of, because if you remember that, like, what SportsCenter used to be like when they didn't talk and they didn't argue and you actually got, like, you know, actual, like, highlights. So it's basically Carl's highlights of every single game. And I'm telling you, man, Trevor Bauer, oh, you're gonna want to punch him right in the face if we get the Reds, bro, with his antics the last couple of starts. And he's come back and has given him some life.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment brought to you by our friends at T-Mobile. Get an amazing network for an amazing price. Visit T-Mobile stores or T-Mobile.com to find out more. Let's shift over to our Falcons, Mike. What is the deal with Julio Jones and some of these injuries? Here's how Dan Quinn answered that question.
I'm kind of in the same space with him to see it all the way up, you know, until our time on the day of the game. He's has the rare ability to do that when called upon, if he's available. So we'll give him and a couple others all the space and time they need to see what it could look like. The only way we'll do it is if he's you know, ready to do his thing. So take it all the way till the game with who.
Game time decision for Julio Jones.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll, you know, if you're going to use him as a decoy. We'll talk more about that. We'll get Harry Douglas's take. But, yeah, I mean, he was kind of off to a slow start, as we said last week, but then it was in the position to make that big play that could have maybe potentially helped you hold on and win the game. Sheffield is out, by the way. So a guy that, you know, we shouldn't have to lean on, but Sheffield in his second year is going to be, yep, was going to be needed, because Isaiah Oliver has struggled so much. We got that guy, was it Denard, that we picked up from the Bengals as a free agent. So Darquez Denard, you know, he'll have to step up a little bit. It's just they're going to want to run the ball first, Carl, but if we start to have to, you know, play up and then start buying on and biting on play action, it could be a real long day for secondary, even though we all think that Trubisky can't get the job done.
Matt Gono practiced at right tackle today, according to our own Tanitra Batiste. She's saying he is looking like he's going to be the starter, with Caleb McGarry expected to be out dealing with the MCL. So
right,
we kind of figured that. We've been talking about Gono all week. D-Led alluded to that yesterday. More on the Falcons coming up, guys. What about the Dogs? Kirby Smart says, listen, if it's DeJuan Mathis, he'll be ready.
DeJuan's done a great job. He has embraced every opportunity. He's competed. He's gotten better. He's very talented with his feet. He understands what we're asking him to do. You know, I think he's done a great job preparing, and so has Carson Stetson and JT. They really all have done a good job preparing for this moment, and I feel comfortable with all those guys.
All right, so Kirby played it close to the vest, Carl. The longest evaluation by any college medical staff ever in history on JT Daniels' knee. So I don't know whether this is all gamesmanship or whatever, or we think we're going to see both quarterbacks, but DeJuan Mathis would probably get the majority of the snaps. Meanwhile, who's kicking the ball? Because, you know, Rodrigo seemed like he was there for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Dasher had a funny line from UGA Sports. He goes, from Rod to Pod, Jack Podlesny is the new kicker. For a good kicker name, get Podlesny out there. So that's the guy. But hopefully it won't come down to a field goal against the Razorbacks.
More with Seth Emerson at 3:20 about the Dogs, the quarterback situation, and all of that. What'd you make of the Dolphins last night, Mike, on Thursday Night Football?
Oh, the greatest football team. They take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. Sorry about that. It was funny. I was texting Randy Mack, former Dolphin, last night with Drunk Larry, and we were like, holy cow, how about Fitzmagic? And Fitz, you know, if you didn't see it, Ryan Fitzpatrick at the goal line is like, well, what are we going to dial up? Well, he's about as big as Cam Newton. This guy, people forget Fitzmagic with that goofy beard, and he's always good for two or three good starts and the wheels fall off, right, Carl? That's his MO. But he can drop his, you know, lower his shoulders and put his head down and get you some short yardage, and he did that last night. It was pretty fun to watch.
It was. Listen, Tua is still the future. But you don't have to rush. This is what we talked about. Brian Flores is not going to rush Tua into action just because they have to win this year. They don't. So you let Fitz play and, you know, develop guys. But I still fall under the theory of you got to let Tua out there, Mike, just to get his feet wet at some point.
Right.
So
also, speaking of getting your feet wet, I know that he graded well in his first two games. But C.J. Henderson, remember, this was the guy we talked about. Let's draft C.J. Henderson out of Florida. He went at 9, and a lot of people are kind of in their bag. And then we took Terrell because we were in no man's land and we had to get a corner. Well, you could argue that A.J. Terrell looks great out of the box. C.J. Henderson looked like he needed a map last night. He looked like a lost puppy out there.
Yeah, and we talked about last week. I think it was they threw at him 3 times. He gave up 7 yards. I'm talking about our guy, A.J. Terrell. Now, that's not to say he won't be tested, but he's been playing well enough. He's getting a little bit of respect out there from teams that are seeing how well he's playing. All right, guys, it is Dukes and Bell. We will let you hear from Trae Young coming up a little bit later on. Also, the Hawks CEO, Steve Kuhnen, will stop by the show today. Lakers take a 3-1 lead over the Nuggets, Mike. So you're thinking Lakers, Heat, NBA Finals, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Jimmy Butler and company have been the story. We've talked about that bench. We've talked about just all the depth and the team concept. You know, and again, what was it, 60 points that Anthony Davis and LeBron combined for? Everyone thought that Denver would, you know, battle back. But this is going to be, I mean, it should be an entertaining NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think so. And last night, you know, we talked about the legacy of LeBron. And even if he quits right now, he's one of the all-time greats. Last night, though, to pick up Jamal at that point he did in the fourth quarter and say, I got him! I thought that was huge and literally shut him down. He had 5 points in the fourth quarter when they needed scoring from Jamal Murray. I think LeBron is motivated to make this happen, and he sees it. I mean, you can almost see it now for the Lakers trying to get another championship. All right, guys, quick reminder, sign up at radio.com/picks for the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. $1,000 up for grabs each week. I've already picked the games last night. Obviously, I blew that. But you can go pick your games for this weekend. No point spread. Sign up today at radio.com/picks for your chance to win. And all you need to do is pick the winners. We're coming back. Joe Patrick and the Braves, and we'll talk about what's on tap next. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. We'll get you ready for the weekend, as well as our conversation with Seth Emerson. Guys, our SEC preview brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs, continues at 3:20 today. Let's talk with our buddy, Braves insider Joe Patrick, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And let's start with the news that had us all on the edge of our seat, which was Max Fried. Yesterday, Alex Anthopoulos went on MLB and radio and was talking about this and made it out to sound like everything's going to be fine. And it may be. How concerned are you, Joe, about that? But more importantly, the starting pitching and what this rotation may look like heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, Carl, you know, I think just based on the way you phrased that question, I think we're kind of on the same page here a little bit, where my concern is not zero. You know, this is not something you really want to be dealing with particularly with any of your starting pitchers that you know are going to be going for you in the postseason, but especially a guy like Max Fried, just based on the importance that he's had to this team so far this season. Obviously, he's made himself a Cy Young candidate, one of the leading Cy Young candidates, and he's just a guy that has gone out there in the Braves is kind of routinely depended on him to get not just good results, but really great results that give them bona fide chances to win every game that he pitches. And so not only is it an issue where, okay, you're questioning whether he is actually going to be 100% come time next Wednesday when he pitches game one, but also just, you know, the fact that he's got this injury, he's going to have to get treatment on it. It might affect some of the things that he typically does between his starts. You know, it's just not something you want to be dealing with at this stage. You would prefer a guy to be in his, you know, very comfortable, normal routine going into a playoff start that's going to be so important. So I think he's going to go out there. Obviously, he's going to go out there and pitch game one. And I think that he'll probably be fine. Like, I'm not as concerned about the actual condition of the ankle itself. I'm more concerned about the disruption this kind of throws into his natural routine ahead of that game.
Because he's our guy. I mean, we talked about, you know, Ian Anderson, and we'll talk about his start last night, because I thought he probably deserved better than what he got defensively behind him last night in that fifth inning. But But sixth inning. But the thing about, you know, Kyle Wright's a guy we were just still kind of scratching our head over just less than a month ago. So, yep. I mean, it's going to be unprecedented. If the Braves, regardless of what you think about the 60-game season, Joe, it's just hard. Carl and I have talked about this all week. It's just hard to see this starting pitching being able to stand up to the test. It's going to have to, especially when you get into maybe playing the Padres at some point. We know about the Dodgers, right. All the usual suspects.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, just looking at this Braves team, the way it's constructed, like there's no bones about it. The starting pitching staff is definitely the weak point, and you have your strong points as well. You have one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in all of baseball. But yeah, I think you're going to get outmatched in pitching, and obviously when it comes to playoff baseball, that's such an important aspect of it. I do think it's really interesting what's happening right now with a guy like Kyle Wright, though, to see what he's done over the last month. You know, it was interesting. Three or four starts ago, he had an outing that was not good in terms of the results, but he came out of that game and said, you know what, the slider wasn't working for me, but that's normally my pitch. What I really wanted to get in control of when I'm come back into the rotation here is locating my fastball, making sure that's good, and he was pleased with it at that time, despite the results. And I remember kind of coming onto these shows and relaying what he had said, and there was a lot of scoffing and like, oh, you know, like, how can you say that when you gave up, I forget how many runs you gave up in those starts or whatever. But we are starting to see him put the performances together now, where he's putting those secondary pitches, which he's always been very strong with. He's got a big repertoire. Putting that all together in combination with being able to throw the strikes when he needs to, and he's getting a lot of run on the two-seam fastball, that's really been effective for him. And he has gone out there and started to improve, and his last start was definitely the best start he's ever had as a major leaguer. And so you'd love to see him go out there tonight and continue to build on that. I mean, he looked really good. And not only did the stuff look good, he looked confident. You know, he looked like a different guy out there. So you just hope that he can continue to build on that against a weaker Boston team and have that kind of confidence going into the postseason. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, he is a guy that I don't think a lot of us would have really penciled in earlier in the season, especially with the way his season started, to be a postseason starter for this team. But, you know, I think it's one of those things with this team where some of these young guys, Kyle Wright, Oscar Yanoa, Bryce Wilson, you know, they maybe at a different point in the season, it's actually more stressful for them, like trying to hold on to a major league spot, knowing that if they go out there and they don't perform, they're going to get sent down. I think those guys kind of know that there's nobody really behind them. Like they are the guys, this is their moment. And so maybe that gives them some added confidence, some added level of, just an ability to kind of step up to that moment, knowing that they're going to be the ones in it. And obviously that's what Brian Snicker is going to be hoping for. But the good news is that these guys are kind of showing some of their best selves at this point in the season.
What's Freddie got to do to win the MVP? I think he's done enough. Does he need to do any more before the season's up, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done enough, too. And I was talking about this with Andy and Randy earlier in the week, guys. And I think that, you know, when it comes to winning an MVP, we all know how baseball writers and voters are. You know, a lot of them, obviously, they're going to look at the numbers, but they always love a great storyline and things like that. And I think that Freddie Freeman, like, how can you have a better storyline than what this guy has done in this particular season, coming off of being a COVID, he was a COVID, I don't know if you'd call him a victim, because he, you know, it's not like he passed away or anything, but he did have it, and he had the sickness very bad. Right before the beginning of the season started, and then he comes out and puts up a season like this. I think that it's something that is, you know, kind of emblematic of the whole triumph of this entire season to be able to put something on the field during these crazy conditions. I think that Freddie Freeman is just like a shining symbol of what this baseball season is. And so I think it would be great. And obviously his numbers back it up. It's not like it's just some narrative thing. I mean, he has put up some of the best numbers in baseball. I mean, his on base percentage right now is almost 500. Like it's almost like a 50-50 chance he gets on base in any given at bat. It's just incredible what he's done, and he's such a leader for this team too. You know, like, he is just such a rock. He's batting in different positions in the order and always produced wherever he's been. He's just been a great story. He's put up the numbers. I think he's the MVP favorite.
Got about 30 seconds left with Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Speaking of leaders, I love the vibe with Ozuna. I love the interaction with him and Acuna. Carl and I talked about that yesterday. Legitimate shot. Is it only if the DH stays at Acuna? I mean, like, the metrics for baseball and the numbers and what the salaries are going to look like, nobody knows. But wouldn't you love to keep Ozuna?
Oh, you'd love it. And I think that for the Braves, it's going to come down to a very, very similar thing with that the team had with Josh Donaldson, which is the years. I think that the Braves are obviously going to want to have a shorter contract for a guy like Ozuna when you have Drew Waters and Christian Pache kind of waiting in the wings, ready to take over in those outfield roles. Of course, there's the DH spot now for Ozuna to kind of fill if he wants to do that long term. But, you know, every team is facing these financial difficulties, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, which teams are able to step to the plate and really give him those deals. I do think the Braves will step to the plate for the money, but it's, again, a player at the age of Ozuna, he's going to want a longer-term deal. I think we're in for a very similar situation, but you hope maybe that some of the roots that he grew in Atlanta, again, playing with those guys like Albies and Acuna, maybe that can be kind of the thing that gives Atlanta the edge in terms of getting his signature.
Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend, Joe. Looking forward to these playoffs and seeing what our Braves can do. Hopefully they finish things up here, and we head into the playoffs with a little momentum. Thanks so much again.
Sounds good, guys.
Joe Patrick, guys, Braves insider here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, we got to talk some NFL, man. Fitzmagic will let you hear from what he had to say last night. Also, looking to the weekend, including Odell Beckham now saying he won't have a big season. It's coming up.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.